Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
All I know is we got 5,000 niggers in this county who ain't registered a vote yet. And as far as I'm concerned, they never will. So you can tell your stiff suits up there in Washington, D.C. that they ain't going to change us one bit. Unless it's over my dead body. Or a lot of dead niggers.
And welcome to the show. It is on the radio on this Friday, August the 17th, 2012. We are live. We are ready to go. It is the end of the week. I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of people out there who are excited about the weekend. I, of course, am not. For me, it's just, you know, I'm not going to be doing the show, so I'll be finding other things to do, but that's okay. That's fine. I'll be taking some time in the weekend. I'll be doing some retweaking of the show, things of that nature, and I hope that you all will be back on Monday. But nonetheless, let's not jump ahead. Let's deal with the now, and that is Reese on the Radio right now on blogtalkradio.com. We got some Torre feedback. Torre from MSNBC's The Cycle. He is the resident racial, provocateur on MSNBC, and we'll get into him, but, you know, of course, we have the audio about the niggerization of Barack Obama. He has since retracted that. We'll play the audio for you. We've got Romney supporters being spat on. We have to talk about that. We've got a report about Hillary Clinton being asked about 2 weeks ago to join the ticket and get rid of put y'all in chains, Joe Biden, and a bunch of other news, a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on a Friday. But I need to get into the immigration thing today. Immigration is one of the topics that I put high on my list of things that I can't stand. You know, of course, there's the Rainbow Jihad. There's Negro Democrats. Immigration.
What's the other thing that I cannot stand?
Just flat out lies. I hate fibbing. Not telling the truth. People being disingenuous. Omitting. Bull spit artists. You know who they are. All of them. I got a problem with them. Of course, I'm passionate about everything. It doesn't matter. Oh, hell, I made a whole show about Budweiser selling the company to a Belgian company when they were no longer American. I make a beef about everything. It's what I do. It's who it is that I am. I beef about everything. I've got a problem with everything. Always have, always will. I am the complainer in chief. That's who Reese on the Radio is. The complainer in chief. And lastly, another thing that we'll be doing today, Reese on the Radio has cut a political ad. Now, if you've been following me on Facebook, if you follow me on Twitter, if you go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, you can hear a radio ad that we put together today. Barack Obama had an interview with Entertainment Tonight.
Meet with the regular press.
But then an interview with Entertainment Tonight. Nancy O'Dell, formerly of Access Hollywood, did an interview with her. She's a fine white woman. Beautiful woman. I've always thought she was gorgeous. I always had a crush on her. But Barack Obama and Michelle Obama did an interview with her. And Michelle Obama Nancy O'Dell, for that matter, asked what I would consider a tough question about Mitt Romney to President Barack Obama about whether or not there's any truth to the fact that he's dividing the country. And he says no. And, of course, we are here to prove that to be false. That's what we do. This is what we do. We take the president's words. We take everyone's words. and then we throw it back in their face to prove that they're a flat-out liar. Now, I don't know whether or not you remember the quote by Barack Obama on Entertainment Tonight, but this is pretty much what he said.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
He said, we've always tried to bring the country together. Now, again, I don't want to go into semantics here, but when someone uses the word always, you've got to throw that in its face. We've always tried to bring the country together. That's what he said.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way, we have, tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
We've always tried to bring the country together. And so Reese on the radio has cut a political ad to prove that to be wrong, prove that to be a lie. So we'll get into that, of course. But let me get back into immigration. Because, again, like I said, I've got a big problem with the illegal aliens coming into this country and, getting perks. What's worse than that is that the mainstream media, they can't help but drag out these personal stories about people to draw on your heartstrings. Instead of just reporting the news, we have to talk about little Consuela. Well, poor boy Hector. And how tough it is for them. And how now they can come out of the shadows, living in fear. They're going to be deported from the greatest country in the world that these people don't like. These journalists hate this country. They know they do. They want it open. Why are we closing the borders? We don't care about that. They want everybody in the country bringing over drugs. Let everybody do drugs. Smoke a joint. Do some heroin. Sniff some cocaine. It's no big deal. Now just listen to this news report about the amnesty program and how they're trying to, literally, it's like an endorsement. For crying out loud. That's how bad it is.
Today, some of the youngest members of this community began stepping out of the shadows. Among them, Sofia Campos, born in Peru.
I've been here since I was 6 years old. I'm an American in every single sense of the word, except for that 90-digit Social Security number.
Without that number, she couldn't apply for financial aid. That's how she first learned about her immigration status. Her parents had been too ashamed to tell her.
As undocumented members of this community, we are often living in the shadows every day because of shame, because of fear of deportation.
For Sofia, that changes today. A new initiative from the Obama administration will grant temporary work permits and remove the threat of deportation for young people who qualify. You have to be under 31 and have arrived here by age 16. You have to be in school, graduated, or served in the military, and no criminal record. Of the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants, as many as 1.5 million may qualify.
My name is Adrian Reyna. I'm from Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico.
My dream is to open a community center.
They now have a chance to seize the American dream.
Mexico City, my dream is to be an urban planner.
In Chicago and Houston and L.A., the lines have been growing all day. The new program has many critics who call it an end run around Congress.
It is no coincidence that this sweeping policy came was announced less than 5 months before a presidential election.
But for Sofia Campos, it's a godsend. She graduated with honors from UCLA. Now she hopes to go to MIT for grad school.
This is going to be as important as your diploma.
More. Up to this point, we hang our diplomas, in our rooms, and you say, what now?
Now she can put her education to use. David Wright, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Now she can put her education to use. To be a community planner, to open up some community center, which pretty much means that these Mexicanos are just going to be fleecing America even more. And who are they going to be helping? More and more people to get into this country illegally. That's all it is. It's nothing more than an immigration scheme. Hey, Holmes, Tell your friends, man, I got a community center. We're going to be bringing more and more people into this country. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's ridiculous. And I love the way these reporters, like, you know, oh, finally, it has some critics. And what are the critics get this small little bit. Everything else is a fluff piece. They got Jan Brewer in there talking about how she's not going to stand for this. It has some critics. Yeah, right. Sure, it has some critics. Over two-thirds of the goddamn country. It's got some critics. It's only got a few. They don't want this country being turned over to people who don't belong here. I mean, American citizen in every sense of the word, except for the social security number and the fact that I was not born here. How can you be an American in every sense of the word? Really? In every sense of the word? Because where I come from, Earth, every sense of the word means that you followed all laws. So I guess being an American means being in this country illegally, taking the benefits from taxpayers who belong in this country and have a social security number and work hard and pay their taxes. I guess that's the definition, huh? I guess we're just revamping the word American. We're going to rewrite it. Should we look in a dictionary, in the new Merriam-Webster dictionary, and change the word American to now include somebody who feels like they belong here? American. Someone who is born and naturalized in the country of America, and someone who really, really likes the place. I mean, come on, man. Is that what we're going to break it down to? Somebody who's really, really fond of a place. I guess, hey, look, I really, really like Venice. I love that place. I've never been there. It's some place that I want to travel to if I ever get the opportunity. But I love it so much, I guess I get to be Italian. Just I like it so much. I am an Italian in every sense of the word. I love pizza. I like a cannoli. I guess I'm that, you know, every sense of the word. Huh? What? Come on. You got to be crazy here. You know, I love Boston. You know, but that don't make me a Bostonian. I love Connecticut. That doesn't make me, what's the term for them? Connecticut? What's the term for them? A Connecticut? I don't know what they're... What? Come on, JC. You're from Connecticut. What do you call somebody from Connecticut?
A nutmegger.
A nutmegger. There you go. Am I a nutmegger now? Come on. Just because I love the place? This is ridiculous. And for anybody to suggest that that's all it takes for you to be an American just because you love it here. You know, teenagers who go down to Cancun, does that make them Mexican because they love Cancun? How about the people who traveled on the Love Boat and went to Puerto Vallarta on every episode? I mean, for crying out loud, what's her name? Charo. Charo's been on like 95 episodes of the Love Boat. Is she automatically a Puerto Vallartan? Come on. Because a kid likes martial arts, does that make the kid Asian? I got a nephew who can't stop talking about martial arts, the Kung Fu, the Five Deadly Venoms, the Wu-Tang Clan. Hey, in fact, does that make the Wu-Tang Clan Chinese? They love the Chinese. They love that Wu-Tang. I guess the Wu-Tang Clan, Method Man, U-God, Ghostface Killer, Inspector Deck, RZA, Jizza. I guess they all get to just be Chinese now. I heard RZA got a movie coming out called Iron Fist to just make them Chinese. Does that make me, if I like Lucy Liu, does that make me Lucy Liu's husband? What the hell? The criteria is just being deteriorated out here. It's being completely destroyed. Screw these people. I'm so sick and tired of this heartbreak about the fact that their parents didn't tell them they were too ashamed. Really? Are we really promoting shame now? It's a, they're just too ashamed. They couldn't tell their daughter that they broke the law. That they dragged them from their native country. Yeah, that's right. I understand. You've been here. You know how things work. You know, you walk down the street. You go to the mall. You got a Facebook page. You bought a cell phone. You got a Twitter account.
But are you paying taxes?
Now you're paying nothing. You're not contributing in any way whatsoever. You stole our education.
You're embellishing in all the great things that come with America.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not contributing anything.
Absolutely not. And that's the thing. If she believes that the definition of her being American is taking for free, or stealing for that matter, then she doesn't understand what it's like to be an American. She doesn't understand what it's like to be an American. She just knows what it's like to take from Americans. She knows what it's like to benefit from others who do all the heavy lifting, while you get to go to school for free. And to sit up there and talk about how you're an American in every sense of the word is insulting. First of all, your diploma is stolen. If anybody else, I mean, just take this all into consideration. If somebody had gone to Harvard University, never paid a dime, wasn't supposed to be there, lied on their application, got into the school, went there, graduated with honors. Yeah, sure, whatever, you did the work, I understand that. But you didn't belong there. You didn't pay anything for it. You didn't buy the education. You just got it. And someone handed you a diploma. Wouldn't that be theft? Wouldn't that be theft of services? I equate what this girl did with riding a cab. Riding a cab to your destination, the cab driver says, that'll be $25, and you ditch. And then you go home, and you say to your mom, hey, I got home. Oh, thank God, Consuela, you home. But at what price? You stiff some poor guy out of a $25 fare, his time, right? His money's now gone. He's been ripped off. So they were contributing to something that you didn't earn, that you had no right to take, you had no right to have. And I'm supposed to listen to ABC News and feel bad because you came here illegally. I don't feel bad for people who thieve, who steal. You notice he didn't say when her parents told her that she got into the country illegally? You notice he never, ever states that? He just says the parents never told. When did they? Let's hear this again. Let's see if he says when she was told.
Today, some of the youngest members of this community began stepping out of the shadows. Among them, Sofia Campos, born in Peru.
I've been here since I was 6 years old. I'm an American in every single sense of the word, except for that 90-digit social security number.
Without that number, she couldn't apply for financial aid. That's how she first learned about her immigration status. Her parents had been too ashamed to tell her.
As undocumented members of this community, we are often living in the shadow of...
Okay, so she couldn't apply for financial aid. So her parents brought her here when she was 6 years old, got into the first grade. She went through her entire education, K through 12, or first grade through 12. And then when she went in to go say, hey, I need to get financial aid, stealing some more. To go into another school, her parents go, I'm so sorry. You cannot go to school because you do not belong here.
Consuela, you cannot go to college.
You're not here
because you don't have a social security number.
Don't you remember, we used to live in a hut when you were five, and now we live in a two-bedroom apartment on Wilshire. That's the part I cannot understand.
That's the part that's really disgusting. Her parents were ashamed to tell her. They stole it.
Yeah.
That's blatant thievery.
They know it was blatant thievery. They were the ones that were skirting around. See, that's the part. The onus isn't put on her parents for lying. That's the part that I don't like. Why don't you interview the parents? You know? All right, I understand.
Because they probably don't speak no English.
But Peru's not a poor place. No, it's not.
Depending on what part of
Peru. Well, what part did they live in? I didn't hear anything about they lived in some rundown shanty. And I didn't get enough money to get here. They came from Peru. Okay? Peru is no walk. Okay?
And they're better off than Mexicans.
They damn sure are. They're Peruvian. And they probably did what most of them do, get a visitor's visa, and then let it expire, and then stick around and put themselves in hiding.
No, they probably came over here on a boat.
Put themselves in hiding. Don't tell nobody. Don't be here. Don't tell nobody. You can do it yourself. Don't tell nobody. Yes, I know we have keys. But I'm not going to tell my kids. I'm not going to tell them nothing. Don't worry. We're going to take the education. They're going to be brilliant. They're going to be smart. And then they're going to take us out of here. And then we'll go back to Peru. And then we're going to live like kings. Thank you, America.
From all the money we make
without
paying taxes.
Losers. Absolute losers. I have no sympathy for them. F them. I'm done. That's all I can say about these losers. No amnesty for you. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Hey, look. They're talking about Torre on TV. We'll take a break. When we get back, we got plenty more. We're going to play the Reese on the Radio political ad. You'll get to hear it yourself for the first time. It's a great ad. Trust me. I did it myself. I promise you, you will like this. You will. I promise. You will like this. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio.
They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We've got the back.
We can't.
can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gotavote.org to register now. That's gotavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
She's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're a nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget him. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
Michael Simon. Because he's dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyists.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff. Appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Radio. We're back 31 minutes after the hour on this August the 17th, 2012. And so Torre, resident racial provocateur.
The resident racial moron.
Yes, he's a flat out moron. That goes without saying. So I don't know if anybody's familiar with the comments that Tory made.
Yeah.
That really bothered me. You notice he says...
In discussing Mitt Romney making his comments of Barack Obama, in essence telling him to take his hateful and angry rhetoric back to Chicago and, you know, let us get down to brass tacks and taking care of this country, Tory took some sort of umbrage with the fact that Romney was using anger.
And Chicago.
Yeah, and Chicago. For some odd reason, that had a tone, that had a code.
Could it be so much that Chicago, people in Chicago are angry and killing each other?
Yeah. That might be the problem. So this is what he said yesterday in the discussion about Romney calling President Barack Obama angry.
That really bothered me. You notice he says anger twice. He's really trying to use racial coding and access some really deep stereotypes about the angry black man. This is part of the playbook against Obama, the otherization. He's not like us. I know it's a heavy thing to say. I don't say it lightly, but this is niggerization. You are not one of us, and that you are like the scary black man who we've been trained to fear.
The niggerization of Barack Obama. Because I didn't know this, folks. If you call someone angry and they're black, it is a niggerization because blacks are not supposed to be called angry. And if you do, it is code for nigger.
But, okay, how can you even say that when – how can Tory say that when everyone else is saying that Barack Obama ain't even black enough?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, that's often be said.
So no one is accusing and Tory wants to talk about, oh, they're using the words angry. They're giving all, they're spewing some type. It's, you know, it's like a secret code. It's a secret cracker code.
Right.
And only crackers can break the code, the niggerization code. Well, how about the moron, what's his name? The vice president?
Oh, Joe Biden.
Sorry.
Right.
I know who he is.
Exactly. He would not.
But I mean, you didn't say, Tory didn't have anything to say to him about speaking to 45% black people.
48, actually.
48% black people in the audience and saying, they going to put y'all back in chains.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't code. Right. That wasn't code at all.
He straight up said, chuck it out, blackies.
Yeah.
They're going to put y'all back in chains.
That wasn't niggerization.
I mean, but that was so blatant. That was blatantly racist.
You know, it's interesting because, again, I always go back to this. The comedian, Samore, who said this, I always go back to it. When we talk about the niggerization, You know, blacks are the only people who are niggerizing Barack Obama, or for that matter, saying he lacks niggerization.
And then, you know, everybody say, what we say about Barack Obama, well, he's just not black enough. Why? Because he's light-skinned and articulate? Because he paid back his student loans? Because he's married to his baby, his mama? No, his character's not black, but his lips is blacker than a motherfucker. Okay? Them some cool Filter King lips if I ever seen cool Filter King lips. And that's black enough for me.
Now, she says his character is not black, but in essence saying he paid his student loans, he married his baby mama. His characters are not black. But he got cool Filter King. Now, I understand it's said in jest, but,
but
she's
got
making
cool
a point.
Filter King
he
lips.
Got cool Filter King lips.
He does have, he got weed
yeah,
lips.
Yeah, it's very, very dark around the mouth area. It's very
his
awkward.
Lips are purple.
Yeah, it's very, very awkward. Anyway, I bring this up because I have to play this. And this is Torre today, not apologizing for Mitt Romney making, you know, because in essence what he said was, Mitt Romney was a racist. But this is his apology today, 12 seconds long.
Or his backpedaling.
Well, he was backpedaling. No, listen to what he says.
On yesterday's show, in a discussion about the presidential race, I used a word to make a point. In retrospect, I muddied the discussion by using the N-word. I could have made my point without that word. I shouldn't have used it, and for that, I'm sorry.
So he doesn't take back the point that Mitt Romney is using code. He just says, I just shouldn't use the word niggerization. But yeah, he's still racist. He doesn't apologize. The only thing he's apologizing is for using the word niggerization.
But why is it okay for Dum Dum to say whatever he wants to say? Why? Because he is Barack Obama's VP? It's okay for Biden to say whatever he
it
wants.
It doesn't matter. Barack,
no code. He don't even need code. He can just tell you straight up.
No.
Check it out.
He's got, remember, he's black owned. You know, I take it to that old.
Who is black owned?
Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going in a direction here. A lot of people remember back in the days, Jim Carrey was doing a comedy special on one of the networks, and he was talking in jest about the L.A. riots. And he said, you know, he witnessed a little bit of the L.A. riots, and he was worried about the black people that were going to come up to him and respond, you know, in a negative way. But he was wanting to use his celebrity from In Living Color to keep himself from being harmed. And as soon as, you know, on the stage, he said, you know, the people come up to me and look at me in a foul way or in some sort of suspicious way. His response to that was, hey, you know, come on, I'm black owned. And because of Jim Carrey's association with In Living Color, he should not be looked upon as all of the other quote-unquote racist whites. Because, look, I work with blacks. And Joe Biden is sort of given that pass because he is Barack Obama's running mate.
You know what?
My point?
Yeah, you're right. So because people categorize me the same way.
Really?
Of course. Oh, she down. She got a black man. Her husband is black. Her man is black. Her friend is, you know, she got black friends. Listen to her. Don't she sound black? She down. She cool. As long as you down with the black people, you cool. You white, you down with the black people,
you cool.
You
get a pass every time.
You get a pass, yeah. And that's how you get that pass. Well, if you have black friends, maybe not. But, I mean, you know.
But you have to have some sort of...
If your man or your husband is black.
Right.
You know. Or your girl, I guess.
Go ahead, JC.
You do have that sister girl aura about you. Some of our guests don't even know that you're white.
What?
Some of our guests didn't even know that you were white.
Some of our guests didn't even know that.
They still don't know I'm white. They still think I'm black.
You know, it's funny that you said it because, you know, JC just put up a thing. Nas, hip-hop legend, gave Biden a pass long ago. In fact, as we've talked about here right on the show, Nas gave Gwyneth Paltrow a pass on using nigga. Russell Simmons, it just reported he doesn't have a problem with Biden using the chains comment. You know, Al Sharpton, no issue. You know, no real issue. Completely fine with it. NAACP, no issue. Now, hold on. Remember, Alan West, you know, congressman from Florida, shown with a gold tooth punching out white women, not racist. Joe Biden saying he's going to put y'all back in chains, not racist. I'm sitting up going like, what is the standard?
No, you mean Alan West punching out white women.
No, not racist. The NAACP said it wasn't racist. It wasn't racist to depict Alan West punching out white women with a gold tooth in his mouth, not racist. So in essence, Joe Biden saying he's going to put y'all back in chains, not racist. All anybody was saying in the black community was, he's just telling the truth. That's what the Republicans want to do to us niggas.
At least we finally got a white man telling us the truth.
Yeah, we got a white man telling us the truth. He's telling us what we really want to know.
You get a pass, homeboy.
That's what they want to do to us.
Had that been Dick Cheney,
If Dick Cheney had said that the Democrats, that Hillary Clinton wants to put y'all back in chains, they'd have said, what? That would have been the whole thing. But now, to get to my point and why I played this, because I wanted to segue into this perfectly. We all know that this rhetoric with the chains and all that other stuff has gone directly into this division, this divisive sort of campaign.
If I hear this damn word one more time, I can't take it.
What's that?
The divisive.
Oh, the divisiveness?
Yes. I can't take it. Everybody's using it.
Yeah, everybody is using it. So I decided that it was...
Try segregation. I like that word better. Segregation, putting y'all back in chains.
I had to play put together an ad that I thought would best answer the question on whether or not Barack Obama is indeed dividing the country. And I wanted, as I always do, to put together proof. And I believe proof here is the best way to go. To use the president's own words to discern whether or not he was indeed dividing the country. Now, I put this together and I'd love your opinion on it. So, pay attention. I'll play it a couple of times to let you hear it in full, and let me know what your true opinion is. Mary, this is your opportunity to hear it for the first time. You ready?
I'm listening.
Okay.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching the campaign would suggest that in any way tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
The question in this election is, which way do we go? Do we go forward towards a new vision of an America in which prosperity is shared, or do we go backward to the same policies that got us into this mess in the first place?
We've always tried to bring the country together.
We're not trying to push financial reform because we begrudge success that's fairly earned. I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
It is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The private sector is doing fine.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This month we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
Visit Latinos.BarackObama.com to get involved today, because we are greater together. Estamos Unidos.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching the campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
Reese on the Radio is responsible for this ad.
So what'd you think?
Love it. Yeah. I love the menacing music in the background. Love it.
JC, what did you think?
Bravo, bravo. JC, hello?
What, did you, like, fall asleep on me?
No. This is what I started doing. Let me explain. I keep my microphone on and mute my phone.
Oh, okay.
So that when you call me, all I have to do is unmute myself rather than the mic and all that stuff. I loved it. I listened to it online a couple times earlier today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great, I thought it was spot on. And I love the way that you show those contradictions.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue it. I mean, the whole idea is he keeps saying that anybody who's watched his campaign knows that he brings this thing together. Come on.
A couple friends of mine that was had a discussion about it earlier. And they're saying they thought it was put together by some white group or white guy or something like that, period. And I just wanted to know the guy who put it together is black, but regardless of whatever his ethnic background is, every voice you heard on there was Barack Obama's.
That's right.
You can't deny it.
That was the whole point. I was thinking about using surrogates of his, but I said, no, it's not important to use surrogates of his. Just use his own words. It's Barack Obama in his own words. And you make the decision based on that. You decide what it is that you hear. All right, so let's play it one more time, then we'll go to our regular commercial breaks. We'll be back. We've got a guest on tonight, and I have no idea why I don't have her name in front of me, which is, of course, I'm supposed to be prepared for. JC, who do we have on tonight?
Oh, we have Carol Swain.
Yes, that's her name. That's exactly what her name is. Carol Swain. I'll get her all of her information. We'll talk about it when we get back. We'll set it up. She's going to be our guest for about 15 minutes. She's written this book, which I don't know why they don't send me a copy first, but I had to look up online everything that I wanted to find out about her, which always bothers the heck out of me, that I've got to go look the person up, and I just don't have all the information in front of me. But
whatever. Oh, but you have to do the legwork.
I got to do all the legwork.
Well, that's, part of having a guest on the show.
Well, no, but give me the book so I read the book, and then I can explain.
Yeah, but how long ago did you book this?
About a week ago.
Well, then they didn't have enough time to send you the book.
Well, it's obvious they didn't have enough time for me.
Did you request the book?
Of course I always request the book.
And they didn't send it to you.
No, they didn't send it. So we're talking.
I'm sure there's an audio copy. They could have sent you an audio copy.
Exactly. Carol M. Swain, the author of Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. She is a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. And she is here to talk about Barack Obama's recent conversation with Black Entertainment Magazine, or Black Enterprise, was it? Black Enterprise,
whatever it was. I am not the president of Black America.
Yeah, so she's let me give you a little breakdown. Authored the award-winning books that include Black Faces, Black Interests, The Representation of African Americans in Congress, The New White Nationalism in America, Its Challenge to Integration. Her op-eds appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Times, and USA Today. She's a professor of law at Vanderbilt University, expert in the fields of politics, campaign and elections, Congress, race relations, immigration, black leadership, minority relations, voting rights, evangelical politics, and women's issues. So we're going to get into a deep conversation with her.
What school did she go to?
She went to BA at Roanoke. Yeah.
Is that where
and
is
an
that?
MA
oh,
at
that's
Virginia
math.
Polytechnic State University.
That's a very good school. And Roanoke, I've been there.
She also
Virginia.
Went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So we'll talk to her at 9:00 at the top of the hour. When we get back, JC will get her on the phone. And we'll talk to her again. If you didn't get to hear it last time, we'll play it again. This is a Reese on the Radio political ad put together today. It's called Dividing the Country. That's the ad. You can also find it on mrctv.org. You can find it on Reese on the Radio. You can find it on reeseontheradio.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Check it out.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
The question in this election is, which way do we go? Do we go forward towards a new vision of an America in which prosperity is shared, or do we go backward to the same policies that got us into this mess in the first place?
We've always tried to bring the country together.
We're not trying to push financial reform because we begrudge success that's fairly earned. I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
It is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The private sector is doing fine.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This month we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
Visit Latinos.BarackObama.com to get involved today, because we are greater together. Estamos Unidos.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching the campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
Reese on the Radio is responsible for this ad.
Out of respect, they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes, and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we get in. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else, as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Reese on the Radio, we're back. 6 minutes to the top of the hour on blogtalkradio.com, August the 17th, 2012. Again, just to make sure that you guys remember, we're going to have Miss Carol, or Dr., my mistake, Dr. Carol M. Swain on the program. Apparently, you found out, Mary, that she's appeared on Hannity.
She's appeared on Hannity, Lou Dobbs, Fox, let's see.
She's been a couple of places. She's, of course, our conversation with her today is going to be about President Barack Obama's claims to Black Enterprise magazine when he says that he is not the president of Black America. And she wants to talk about her concerns about that statement based upon how he's running as a candidate or how he's been sort of divisive in general. She does look somewhat familiar. I'm looking at Mary showing me pictures of her now. She's got high cheekbones, as my mother would say.
Beautiful.
She's a very pretty young lady. And so we'll talk to her about that and her views, of course, on that, on whether or not it's true, it's fair for him to say, and race relations in general when it comes to President Barack Obama. So we'll talk to her about that. A quick note, I don't know whether or not you guys saw this, but log on to Drudge Report. It is the top story, not the lead story. The lead story is about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Not that story. Top left-hand corner, Romney supporter spat on by 83-year-old protester in Wisconsin. You've got to see this video. If you can't hear the audio very well, some 80-something-year-old woman, I guess she's 83, so they report, 83-year-old woman. She is at this Romney campaign, obviously not a Romney supporter. It's a women's group that are there. It's Women for Mitt. And she's upset about Mitt Romney not supporting Planned Parenthood. So this woman asks, what's the problem with Planned Parenthood? A woman turns around and says, this is not the place for that. These are people who support Mitt Romney. And they get into it, and she's telling her to hush up or shut up or pipe down. I think the woman says something along that line. And 83-year-old woman looks at the Romney supporter and spits right in her face. Spits right in her face, and we're talking like, we're not talking a foot away, folks. We're talking inches away. She spat right in her face. Another woman goes off and tries to pound her on the head, but they kick her ass right out.
No, not another woman.
The same woman. I'm sorry.
Listen, I was at work and saw this story. Watched the video. I was just getting ready to leave and saw it on my phone, watched the video, and called Reese and was like,
and
oh, my God, please tell me that you saw this freaking video. This lady... they're arguing, and the lady just spits right. If that lady's mouth was open, the spit went right in her mouth. I'm telling you. I promise you. That's how close she was. You have to see the video if you haven't seen it. It was absolutely appalling. Yeah, I could not believe it. And the woman that she spit on knocked her ass right upside her head.
She did.
Good
she
for
did.
You.
Anyway.
And then they put her out, and everybody chanted Romney.
Yeah, they were chanting Romney, Romney, Romney.
Failed attempt.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. All right, so stick around. We're going to take a break.
I'm reading here. I just want to say that Dr. Swain actually has a show coming. A new series beginning, a new television series beginning soon. Uncover Truth. Awaken Action, Restore America.
Okay, we'll ask her about that.
Interesting.
Be sure that you ask her about that if in the event that I forget, because I wanted to get into her with that when we return. So we'll take a break, folks, and when we come back, we will have Dr. Carol M. Swain on the program, and she will be talking about the current comments by Barack Obama that he's not the president of Black America, or so he says. And how she feels about those comments when we return. Stick around. We will be right back. And as always, thank you for joining us. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
Of the Harvard Law Review in a blind test becomes head of the review, the top editor there. Everything he's done is clean as a whistle. He's never not only broken any law, he's never done anything wrong. He's the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect American. And all they do is trash the guy. And it's impossible for me to believe they would have said the same thing about a Walter Mondale or a Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. There's an ethnic piece to this. It's very hard to nail it down because they always cover it in ideology. But I've never heard anybody in this country call its opponent regularly anti-American or non-American.
Clearly a delusional clod, Mr. Chris Matthews of Hardball. He's the perfect man. Anyway, yes, the lover of Barack Obama, Mr. Chris Matthews. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio, 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, August the 17th, 2012. Let me get the introductions in order because we've only got her for a short while. I wish she could stay longer because she's exactly my type of black woman. Not that it even matters. She's my type of black woman. She's got common sense, damn it. And her name is Dr. Carol Swain, who has authored the award-winning books that include Black Faces, Black Interests, The Representation of African Americans in Congress, and the new White Nationalism in America, Its Challenge to Integration. Let's bring her in now and say hello to her, Dr. Carol M. Swain. Thank you for joining Reese on the Radio today.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's my pleasure. And you missed my latest book, Be the People.
That's
a
the
call
one I was
to reclaim
going to
America's faith and promise.
That's right. Be the People, a call to reclaim America's faith and promise, which I definitely am going to get into, and I'm going to plug. I promise you, I'm going to bring that up. Do you want to talk about that now before
that's
we get
the
into
show?
It?
Isn't that the show that's coming up?
Well, no, I'm actually going to have a show by that name, and I see it as a continuation of the ideas in the Be the People book. It's like taking it all to the next stage.
So explain to us Be the People, a call to reclaim America's faith and promise.
Well, in the book, it's a call to the we, the people, in the preamble of the Constitution to stand up and take responsibility for the state of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the book begins with an overview of where we are now and how much deception has played a role in what we see. And then there are various chapters that talk about the history of the country as well as public policy areas. Each chapter ends with concrete action points for people who may be concerned about a problem, they read about it, they're frustrated, they don't know what to do next. Each chapter has some suggestions. Suggestions for people who would like to know something they could do about that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what types of, are there specific problems that you go over?
I do, but I don't want to use up your time doing that. We want to talk about the President Obama's announcement that he's not the president of Black America.
Yeah, I understand that you have issue with that, as do we. That Barack Obama refuses to take any, I guess, any real issue with the African-American community by saying, hey, look, I'm not the president of Black America. And your position here is he's using so much racial politics. You know, how could he consider himself not the president of Black America when it appears that, you know, he's running ads, African-Americans for Black America, Latinos, I mean, I'm sorry, African-Americans for Barack Obama, Latinos for Barack Obama, LGBT for Barack Obama. It doesn't seem like any stone's unturned when it comes to him and racial politics.
He's the president of Black America when it's convenient.
Right.
And that's whenever it whenever they decide to play the race card, which happens quite frequently. But when it comes to taking responsibility for addressing some of the issues that are plaguing the community, then he's not the president of Black America.
And why do you think that is? Do you think it's sort of is it an outright disregard, or is it just, as Ed Koch said a couple of weeks ago? I have audio of Ed Koch who says this, which I'm trying to find now. Ed Koch, in fact, this is what Ed Koch said on Neil Cavuto's show on Fox.
There's no question that 95% or more of Black voters are going to vote for the president. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's pride.
So the president is taking it for granted?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
So do you believe that's pretty much the case with President Barack Obama?
I think this second term, there will be far fewer Blacks going to the polls in November. And of those who actually turn out to vote, most of them will vote for him, but I wouldn't be surprised if his percentage didn't decrease somewhat. You know, maybe it decreases by 5%, but I would imagine that the percentage of Blacks who vote for him in 2012 will be less than the percentage that voted in 2008, and the turnout will be down. And
well,
that
current
is because his administration has not delivered very much, if anything, and they overpromised. Black people had high expectations for their first Black president, and I can't see anything he's done other than some symbolic gestures to offer them anything.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I've brought up that point often. The fact that the polls now suggest that Barack Obama just has an 85%, if not 80% approval rating amongst African-Americans. You've got actors like Spike Lee who are in one hand saying that, you know, the health care promise and the fact that he's no superhero, I believe Michelle Obama has said. Will.i.am said, you know, we expected this guy to do so much. We overstated what it was he was capable of. He's human. He's not superhuman. People are making these apologies for the president of the United States, especially in the Black community. With 11.4% unemployment in the Black community, do you think that that is really starting to resonate with African Americans today?
Well, the numbers, the last numbers I saw for Black unemployment, I believe it was like 14.5%.
Yeah.
But the effective Black unemployment rate across the country was actually closer to 50%.
Wow.
And there's some age groups, you know, that are harder hit than others in the Black community, but it's been a disaster for Blacks. And what they see is a president that's more interested in getting work permits for people who are undocumented in this country than he is with addressing the problems for the hardcore unemployed, for those in the groups who are first fired and last hired.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. And for those of you who are just joining us, we're on the phone with Dr. Carol M. Swain, who is the author of Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. You bring up a very valid point that Barack Obama has paid a lot of attention to undocumented, younger people. Do you think, and I'm almost certain of this, I'm probably preaching to the choir here, Latinos in this country outnumber African Americans, and I believe this started in 2000 in the 2000 census, that Latinos outnumber African Americans 2-1 starting in 2000. And that particular group are more eager to go out to the polls than African Americans. I believe in 2004, the average turnout rate for African Americans, registered African American voters, the turnout rate was 24% of registered voters actually went out to the polls. 2008 was the largest that had ever been seen where African Americans turned out to the polls to vote for the first black president, and those numbers will dwindle. So he's more or less paying attention to the base who will turn out to vote and the things that he can offer them, like immigration, like the gay community. He can give them their support in a gesture by saying, I believe you should be married, because they just want symbolism. Do you believe that's why he's ignoring African Americans? Because African Americans don't supply anything to him that he can benefit from? No financial support, no real support in the polls?
Well, Hispanics are a larger overall population than African Americans. But if you look at the percentage of the electorate, even factoring in the turnout, they offer a smaller share of the vote. And what President Obama has done, he's made gestures not just to young people who are undocumented. He's basically turned a blind eye to anyone who isn't a criminal alien, which means that over the past 3 years, if you were in this country undocumented, unless you were involved, had an encounter with law enforcement that, you know, almost was at the felony stage, there was not a whole lot of activity as far as deportation. There were some deportations, but clearly not of the general population of people who were undocumented.
And why?
I think that the president does take black Americans for granted. He may see their problems intractable. And it is true they have far less resources to give to political campaigns. And so if he's given to people who have the resources to support his campaigns, that wouldn't be black America.
Right. Okay, well, I understand, but I almost feel like in some sense it's a contradiction. Because if the electorate in the African-American community is larger than that of the Latino community, even though the Latino community is larger than blacks, at a rate of 2-1, I don't believe. See, I'm sorry.
He doesn't get all their votes.
No, I understand that. See, I come from a very, very raw sort of train of thought. I come from a very raw, very honest train of thought, and I believe, honest to God, that you know, because African Americans don't contribute financially, and because they have no political power, because the Democratic Party in general pretty much looks at black people and say, look, what are you going to do, vote Republican? You're either going to vote for me or you're not going to vote at all. Nobody gives a crap about what it
you
is
know,
that
something,
you think.
I wish more African Americans would be like, is it Arturo Davis, the guy from Alabama that is speaking at the Republican conference? And at the convention. He had spoken at the Democratic Convention. He was one of their bright stars. I'm hoping that more black people will follow other blacks out of the Democratic Party, and then I believe you will start seeing more responsiveness from Republicans as well as Democrats. As long as the black vote is captured, as long as people see them as a shoe-in for the Democratic ticket, no one's going to take them seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my point, that the African-American vote has never been up, you know, it's never been up for grabs in any political party. Republicans know where they're going to vote, so there's no reason to reach out for them. Although African people, you know, pundits keep saying Republicans have to find a new way to reach African-Americans. That's bupkis.
The Republican Party will die on the vine if it doesn't figure out a way, you know, to bring more minorities into the party. And they're making progress, but their survival as a political party depends on that happening. And if the Democrats continue to pander to every group trying to expand, you know, its base, they will do what they're doing, and that's destroy the country, because there's not enough handouts to give to everybody. That we can't. The system that they're put in place is not sustainable.
Dr. Swain, I don't agree with you there. This is what I believe, and this is going to sound almost apocalyptic, if you will. But I think that the Republican Party can say in each and every day, listen, you keep following the policies of the Democrats. You're going to have more and more people. Just look, just check out the track record. 74% single-parent households. Your communities are in ruins. It's just reported today that Detroit, they're not even going to deliver pizzas after dark. These urban communities are turning into squalor. I mean, they're beyond squalor. Chicago, more deaths in Chicago this year than there were in Afghanistan, and that's a war zone. That these places are run by Democrats and these places look like hell. And you start showing these people, look at these quote-unquote Republican precincts and look how these people are flourishing. And you want to keep voting that way? I'm sorry, but I think that we need to sit back and watch these people. I'm sorry, this is going to sound harsh, but watch this place die. Watch these communities.
But do you know something? Part of the problem, and the this message does not come through clearly enough, even through the Republicans, is that there's a spiritual problem behind what's taking place in those Democratic cities, Democrat-led cities, because there's no emphasis on morality and values and principles. And if those people want to thrive, they're going to have to change their way of life. And it's not going to be as simple as voting for a Republican or moving into an area that's better. There has to be a change in values and principles and all of that to accompany it.
Well, all right, folks, we're on the phone with Dr. Carol Swain, who's the author of Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. Let me ask you this finally before you go, because I know we've only got you for a couple of minutes. Let me ask you this finally. Based upon what it is that you just said, talking about faith and finding some sort of, I mean, traditionalism, what I've witnessed in the African-American community and what I've noticed in the urban community is when you talk about places like church, in the African-American community, that's reserved for squares. If you talk about marriage, that's a white people thing. When you talk about banking and financing and being fiscally responsible, that's a white person's thing. When you talk to the
urban
community,
those are ignorant responses. And when I talk about the spiritual solution, I'm not even talking about church.
Oh, no,
I'm talking about people.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying about it's something about people that they, this personal responsibility. If you look at Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, and some of the great black leaders of the past who could be George Washington Carver, even role models for the generations today, they don't know about those people. They need to be taught their true history, and they need to be taught the history of black conservatism. And even following that, it takes you to men of faith, to spiritual values and principles, to things that have values and principles that once guided the black community, but they've been forgotten and lost.
Yeah, because I believe that that's been destroyed by liberalism, by the sense of saying, look, there's nothing wrong with you being a single mother. There's nothing wrong with being unemployed. There's nothing wrong with you collecting welfare. There's nothing wrong with having an abortion. That liberalism has destroyed it. When people said, you know, this ignorance, and I'll let you go with one final thought, and you can respond to this, but I've seen so many people in the community who always equate what it is that they do irresponsibly with, well, white people do it too. And it's
I heard that.
Aggravating thing that they say all the time. And this is what I think is that permissive behavior that now we equate our bad behavior with, hey, if the white people do it bad, we can do it too. But then when you ask them to do something that white people are doing that is productive, that is, we don't do that, that's too white.
Well, you know something, we have to hope that there will be enough black people that escape that way of thinking, that others will follow, because it is based on ignorance, and that is something that can be changed with information.
Hmm. Well, you've got a lot more faith than I do. I'll be honest with you. I probably don't have as much faith as you do, but I appreciate you're out there, you're trying, and you're doing your best to get involved. You know, I try not to give up, but sometimes I talk to these people and I talk on other radio shows, and there are so many people who just want to be and they have to be lost. They're willfully ignorant. It's sad, though.
Well, I think America itself is headed in the wrong direction, and maybe as a nation we have to hit bottom before we can start rising again. Mm-hmm. And when we start rising again, I believe that will be undergirded with traditional Judeo-Christian values and principles. Those values and principles that help make the nation strong, I think we will rediscover them on our way up.
You know, that was spoken like directly out of what they say in Alcoholics Anonymous. They say you don't get out of that sort of drug-induced, that alcohol-induced haze until you reach rock bottom and you can go no further, and then there's no way to go but up. You know, and that's I kind of appreciate their approach to it, but I think that's kind of what people are. They're in this haze, if you will. But I thank you, Dr. Swain, for being on the show. And again, check out her book. It's called Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. She is a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. And it's been a pleasure having you on, Dr. Swain.
Thank you. And please follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, how do we – is it just Carol Swain? Or
well,
how do
it's Carol M. Swain for Twitter. And if you go to Facebook, Professor Carol Swain or Carol Swain, I have two sites. So that's a good way to dialogue.
Okay. And thank you again. Yes, I'm looking at it now, www.carolmswain.com and Carol M. Swain on Twitter. Be sure to check her out. And thank you again, Dr. Swain, for being on our show.
My pleasure. Good night.
All right. You have a beautiful weekend. All right. Dr. Swain. I told you I love conservative Negroes. That's my favorite thing.
She was absolutely off the hook.
What's that?
She's amazing.
Is she?
She is amazing.
Yes, she is.
Very good.
Yes, energy. She is.
I appreciate having her on, so we've got to have her on again.
Well, you know, it was kind of different hearing it from someone other than you.
What's that supposed to
mean? I mean, she writes books about it. You know what I mean?
So I just talk about it.
You talk. Yeah, well, talk. Wow, I wouldn't call that talk.
Thank you.
You do what you do, and you do what you do, and you do what you do well. But she has a way of putting things. And it kind of touched it. Like, she needs a huge platform.
Well, I'll admit, she is probably a lot more, I don't want to use the word passive, but she is probably she's probably more delicate.
Delicate.
Really, she puts things
she's
delicately.
Able, but she really got her point across.
She articulated it well.
She articulated everything that she wanted to say. She got it across in a tone that said, you know, this is how I feel, and these are my stands, and this is what I'm trying to do,
yeah.
And this is how it is. I don't think that she's delicate
she
or passive. Just
she had a, I'm sorry, Mary, go ahead.
No, yeah. She was done.
Go ahead.
She has that listen to your mama feel about her.
Really?
That
yeah.
Professor feel about her.
Yeah, I thought
because
that, yeah.
She's a professor,
yeah.
So
she was well versed, but again, you know, I didn't expect to get into like a really, really harsh thing with her. But I did want to ask her from a woman's perspective on my view, because you know me, I approached this in a very, very harsh way, and I would just wanted to know how she felt about the way. I was like, you know, maybe these people in these communities need to see the harsh reality. Maybe they need to, you know, completely see their communities in ruins before they realize, hey, this ain't working. But she still has faith in some degree. So
well, she's a woman.
You know, what can you say?
Well, I think the difference between you two is that you've been preaching it so hard, grinding a mic for so long, and you've approached it every way you can. The only way that you feel that you can get across now, and it's the only way that they'll understand, is to give it to them rough, rugged, and raw.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to get it. We've got to get more Negroes. We've got to attack the Negroes.
Oh, my God.
We have to punch them in the throat. Huh?
And watch them gasp for air.
Exactly. Let's get those Real Talk Blancers on the show, man. Can you chat with them this coming weekend?
I'll chat with them this weekend.
Yeah, try to chat with them this weekend and see if we can hook something up. We haven't had them on for a while. Everyone talks about them when we have them on the show, man. As I'm sure his people do as well. We've got to have them back on the air.
Hey, you know what? I checked Don Nicole's show, Don Nicole, whatever the hell her name is.
Don Nicoleone?
Wow. Yeah, her.
Absolutely delusional. I love her, though, but she's delusional.
Oh, man. But, you know, I love her, too. I think the only part about her I really, really love is the fact that she's Georgian. She's a peach.
Yeah, but they don't even see it. They are the most hate Don Nicoleone.
Well,
they
what are, did he say the best, what he loves about her?
Because she's Georgian. Whatever.
Dude, JC, listen. I don't know if you heard me the other night. I'm sure that you did. I don't know. Maybe you were taking a nap. I don't know. I listened to her show.
And you found nothing appealing about it.
Wow. I was like,
I heard it.
You know, I really, you know who should come back on the show? I really enjoyed, who's the girl that
oh, Nefertiti, Surviving
yeah,
the Game.
I like Nefertiti. She was cool.
She's
I
on
liked
there
her.
A lot.
I vibed with her. Don Nicoleone, I mean, hey, whoever, your listeners, you know, 100%, you know what I mean? But not for me, boo. I can't do it. I couldn't even think.
But you see, Don Nicoleone, she hits it from a ghetto comedic point. And it's sad because that's her reality. That's her reality. But I didn't call into the show the other day, but I was in the chat room. That was the day you were on, Reeves. And they swore that I was you in the chat room.
But you know what, JC? As much as you want to say that's their reality, that's my point, my man. That
yeah.
it, how can that be your reality when you? What's the point of that being your reality? If you are taking, you're not listening to anybody, you're not allowing anybody to really speak, you're spewing your personal opinions, you're not really debating anything because you're too busy thinking about how you feel and yelling and screaming. And
well,
so
you know
what? What are you accomplishing? You know what I'm saying?
You gotta earn her respect.
Huh?
You gotta earn her respect because she gave Reese the floor the other day.
She does. She gives me the floor all the time.
Yeah,
No, listen. I like I said, big ups to her. You know, I don't get it. It's just, you know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with
you
not
know?
Getting it.
No.
It's, she's got, again, it's a perfect.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Let's take a break. We'll be back shortly. We've got more news, more views. We've got to get into Hillary Clinton. We've got to get into this. What the heck is this? Oh, never mind. It's not coming to me now. I'll tell you when we get.
Before we go, did you get that note that I gave you about the Huey P. Newton Foundation?
The who?
The Huey P. Newton Foundation, the original Black Panther Party. Yeah, I did a tentative note that
You got to send that to me. I'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, they've denounced the new Black Panther Party. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, send me the link, man. We'll talk.
Black Panther Party.
Yeah, I want to see it. Maybe
I
can read it during the commercial. All right, we'll be back. Stick around. It's
anything
Reese on the Radio.
Anything to do with the new Black Panther Party, I want to see it. Send it, please.
We'll be back.
I love these ignorance.
We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Woo!
If anyone wants to call someone an Uncle Tom, first read the book. Uncle Tom was a heroic figure. Uncle Tom stood up against the Democrat Simon Legree, who wanted to enslave those people. He stood up and he fought, and he was willing to die for freedom. So anyone who wants to call me or any other African-American an Uncle Tom doesn't know what they're talking about because you don't know what an Uncle Tom is. You're a Sambo. You're a Quimbo. You're working for the Democrats. That's the party of slavery, and you're continuing the enslavement of our people.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue.
I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward in the state of our union this morning.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Here on Blog Talk Radio, it is Reese on the Radio, August 17, 2012. So, for any of you who are just joining us, just tuning in live, of course you're going to be listening to this, and we're going to run it again and again and again, but in case you didn't hear it, I decided that Reese on the Radio should cut its own ad based on Barack Obama's claim that he is not dividing the country. So, I put this ad together to pretty much make the argument that he is by using his own words. So this is President Barack Obama talking to Nancy O'Dell of Entertainment Tonight. And there we go. That's not working. I told you, when I got to do this myself, it always sucks. Here it is.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way, we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
So with that line being asked by Nancy O'Dell and his response, I figured it was only right that we make our own commercial ad using the president's own words.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way, try to divide the country, but we've always tried to bring the country together.
The question in this election is, which way do we go? Do we go forward towards a new vision of an America in which prosperity is shared, or do we go backwards to the same policies that got us into this mess in the first place?
We've always tried to bring the country together.
We're not trying to push financial reform because we begrudge success that's fairly earned. I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
It is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The private sector is doing fine.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This month we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
Visit Latinos.BarackObama.com to get involved today because we are greater together. Estamos Unidos.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching the campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
Reese on the Radio is responsible for this ad.
So that's the ad, and of course we're asking for opinions. You can go to thank you, by the way. I appreciate it. Just splicing stuff together. It's not really a big deal, but just took time.
You're pretty good at that, though.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
I mean, look at the commercial you did with Mary, Mary, Why Are You Bugging?
Right, exactly, which you love. Anyway, you can go to...
Which you said was your best.
It is my best. Anyway, go to ResonaRadio.com, and or you can, log on to Facebook. It's posted there, and, you can give your opinion.
So a couple of other news items. I saw this story today, and again, look, aside from the fact that it's weaselly, but it almost seems desperate. Apparently some email was sent by the Obama campaign to Mitt Romney's people, begging them to, can you please just release 5 years of your tax returns? And if you do that, we won't make any other comments about you releasing any more. And we won't make any political ads. We won't say anything. You know, just give us five more. They were so desperate.
Then Mitt Romney and them should say, sure, you can have 5 years of my taxes if I can have 1 year, your freshman year in college transcript.
Yeah, just one college transcript.
Your freshman year.
Yeah,
fine. Your freshman year records. How you got in. What? How you?
No. What do you want? Occidental? You want Harvard?
Well,
you want Columbia?
How you paid? Did you get financial aid? Was your name Barack Obama? Was your name something else?
Barry.
Were you a foreign student?
So there, again, another desperate attempt by sending this email.
Hell, you can have 100 years of my taxes.
Which, again, it's just ridiculous that they're doing
this. My taxes, my mama's taxes, my daddy's taxes, my sister's taxes, everybody, Pookie's taxes, everybody's taxes.
I think we get it. Thanks. Anyway, also another story. Ed Klein, who we actually discussed yesterday, who wrote the book The Amateur, said in a radio interview that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was pressed by her husband and a top Obama aide to consider replacing Vice President Joe Biden just a couple of weeks ago. And Clinton, who obviously declined, but some people are saying that the reason that she's declined is because she wants to make a run at it in 2016. But for me, the underline for this is that I believe that she's not running on this ticket because she believes heavily that no matter what, Barack Obama is going to lose.
Well, she actually had someone interviewed her. I was reading the story earlier today on Drudge Report, and well, the link was there. I don't know who did the story. I don't remember, but there was some question about it, and they said that she actually, you know, she was like, "Look, I don't want to do that. I'm going to run for president in 2016." And her lookout on that was, in the event that he loses, I can't be tied to that.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, even in the event that he doesn't lose, but he's already got all this negative, you know, all this negativity around him, she doesn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, well, it looks, what this
and,
looks
and
like.
And Bill doesn't want her to do it.
Well,
like, that's not what I read. Like,
well,
he pressed her.
Well, I know that he pressed her to get on the ticket in the event that he was going to win re-election, and then that would bolster her for 2016 anyway, that she would run. But I look at the Geraldine Ferraro factor. You know, Geraldine Ferraro ran with Walter Mondale. Of course, they lost against Ronald Reagan. Excuse me. And therefore, she never, ever ran again on, as a major ticket. Anyway, I don't believe, in fact, that she's ever ran in a primary. Of course, I could probably be wrong about that, but I don't think she ever did.
Look, the fact is Hillary doesn't want to be involved. She knows that he's running this country, you know, to hell in a handbasket.
Right. Doesn't want to be a part of that.
She doesn't want to be a part of that. Even if we've got to put up with this son of a gun for another 4 years, God forbid, even if we do, in 2016, I'm not going to be, you know, you won't. Somebody's got to get it. He can't get it again.
Let's bring on Derek the Bounty Hunter. Derek, you heard the ad. What did you
Oh, man, you know what, man? You guys convinced me. I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. You know, he's just so presidential. You know? Y'all convinced me.
That's not what I asked. What did you think of the ad?
I've seen the light. Okay, I'm gonna become a black Mormon too.
What's not presidential? The fact that
I'm gonna become a black Mormon too, y'all. I mean, I'm agreeing with y'all now. What's the problem? You know what I'm saying?
I ain't agreeing with nobody.
I'm gonna become a Latter Day Saint.
You are not agreeing with anybody, and nobody's asking you to become no damn Latter Day Saint. saint. I'm a
Saturday saint, baby.
God damn it, I'm with you.
Derek, answer the question. What do you think of the ad?
Huh? Oh, Lord. Dude, man. Come on, man. Come on.
You
I
don't
mean,
like
you know. Yeah? You know? Hey, man. You know?
Doesn't like the ad.
So you didn't like the ad at all?
I mean, it was all right, but, you know, it's just a compilation of all that other, you know, negativity that's out there. This, you know what, man? To be honest with you. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I mean, it's a compilation of all these, you know, bits and pieces, you know, to try to make the president sound bad, but...
Whoa.
This has been the most... Derek, his own words.
How am I trying to make the president sound bad? It's his own words.
Yeah, but you guys are taking everything out of context, man. You know?
What?
So, it is what it is, you know? You know? It's just like, you know, Reese, you started... You're doing this radio show. You didn't start that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. A likely story. Mike in Florida, I see you just sent me this story about the Arab Spring takeover.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of glad Derek called, actually.
Are you?
He is, you know, the supreme Obama ball washer.
So Derek,
you're a Christian, right? I can't remember talking about this with you.
Yeah.
Were you in support of your president deposing or supporting the deposing of the Egyptian president Mubarak in the Arab Spring?
Yeah, so what about it?
Oh, Joe, you supported that, right?
Yeah.
Stepped into my trap, my friend. Do you know what's happening in Egypt now?
Well, come on,
Derek, I'm going to tell you, the Muslims are crucifying Christians.
Oh, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Whatever. It's a friggin' news report coming from the Muslims themselves.
So I could turn to CNN and see this? Yeah? Can I turn to CNN and see this?
Derek,
why would
go
you
to
look at CNN? Yeah.
Well, can I turn to at least Fox News and see this?
What? So you're saying it didn't happen?
Okay. I want to see it.
Crucifixion is a hard punishment stipulated in the Quran, Surah 533, and is therefore an obligatory part of Sharia. They're using it on the Coptic Christians.
They're telling the Coptic Christians
to leave.
I just want to see it, okay? Because, you know, let's face it.
Your boy is responsible for putting Islamic states into place in two countries and just about three.
Because of lack of interference or pretty much just turning the other cheek.
Because I think that's what he wants to do. He has to have national security advisors telling him, you know, Barack, they're going to take over with the Islamists.
Well, didn't he have a meeting just earlier this year with the Muslim Brotherhood that showed up at the White House?
Oh, you mean, how about Hillary Clinton's chief of staff is the daughter of a member of the female version of the Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt?
Christians don't do bad things to Muslims, right?
They don't crucify them.
They don't, but they do that systematic rape thing that went on in Kosovo. Remember that? That was all Christian people doing that to Muslims. So don't sit over here and act like Christians are all the good
Kosovo?
Guys.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
That was Christians. That was.
Are
that
you
was
a Christian? So why aren't you going to stand up for your fellow Christians in Egypt?
Christians doing all that systematic killing and raping.
Do you understand that a tenet of Islam is to wage war?
Dude, shut up. Things to Muslims too. Huh?
Do you understand that a basic tenet of Islam is to wage war on everyone else?
And Mike, don't get it twisted, dude. Anytime you want to see me in the ring, holler at me.
Whatever. I'll whip your ass.
Derek.
Is that what this is about?
Why I got to put you on hold.
You should just be able to debate.
You
got to
have a debate, Derek. If you don't like it, you know what I'm saying? Why have the debate? He's asking you an honest question. You have to give an honest answer. If you're a Christian, why are you debasing Christianity by saying, oh, it was the Christians who did that. So you don't support your Christianity or your Christian brotherhood?
But listen, I'm just sitting over here saying you got to look at things. Both do evil things. Both have done evil.
What you don't understand, is the basic tenet of Islam is to conquer all other religions.
Oh, man, dude. And so Christians have done the right thing all the time, too? Come on now, man.
You know, this is the same thing Reese talked about with the doctor when you go to white people do it, too.
Wait, Derek, why would the argument for this be what Christians have done in the past during the Crusades or during
I'm just talking about Kosovo. That wasn't that long ago, dude.
Okay, so your argument is that the Muslim Brotherhood, who was, of course, had the ability to take over power, right? Take over power in Egypt because of the removal of Mubarak. Right?
The Muslims are the majority people over there, bro. So who was going to do it?
So you're saying that you don't have any...
Wait. I got one for you. So the majority can do whatever they want, right, Derek? Is that how it works?
That's just how it goes most of the time.
So white
you know?
People could round you up and put you in camps?
Well, they could try.
Would that be okay?
Y'all ain't put like this. Y'all ain't nailing me to the cross. You know what I'm saying?
Seriously, if people rolled up in the hood, you would get on the truck in a heartbeat.
Nah, not me, dog. No way.
Whatever.
What you're saying, though, is
the majority can do whatever they want to the minority, because that's how it works,
right? I'm not sitting over here, but I'm telling you, look, this is a Muslim-majority country, man. So, you know, come here, Coptics make up how much? They don't even make up 5% of that damn Egypt, the Coptic
Christians. Even though
they've
been there for thousands of years?
Yeah, but they don't. But like I said, they make up how much of Egypt, man?
So
you know,
black
and,
people make
you know,
up 13% of America. We can do whatever we want with you.
Look at them being extreme over there, man. You know? Shoot.
Coptic
Come on,
Christians
now.
Are pretty mellow people, man. You ever meet a Coptic?
Yeah, but you know, like I said, you know those, and you know, let's face it, they live in the midst of these damn Muslim Brotherhood people.
And they've been there for thousands of years. That's their ancestral homeland.
You sit over here and talk about black people didn't have to put up with white people's nonsense. Come on, man. You look over there and say 1923, you had the Ku Klux Klan marching on Washington. Just the same way black people were marching on Washington with Martin Luther King 40-something
years
later.
I'm glad to know we've established that you believe the majority can do whatever they want.
No, but I'm saying the majority does messed up things at times. Yeah.
But you're saying it's okay in Egypt, so why isn't it okay over here?
Look, the majority over here is Christian, so we can go ahead and down Muslims all day long.
No. I'm talking the majority over here are white. So if the majority can do what they want in Egypt, why can't white people do what they want here?
We can't say the majority can't do what they want. You know, when you have these little, you know, they just had the power shift. Okay?
Well, Derek,
so at this point, the minorities are vulnerable.
Derek,
all right? That's
valid,
just that's,
Derek,
that's a historical
Derek,
fact,
it's
man.
It's a valid question. Here's the question. Listen. Your argument was, look, Muslims are the majority there. Christians are there, they're the minorities. Muslims have decided that how they respond to Christians is to crucify them and kill them. Your response to that was,
I wanted to see it. You know, it's one thing y'all sit over here and y'all tell me this thing. You know, like the other day y'all were telling me about...
Fine. Okay, I don't know how savvy you are as far as news gathering goes, but here's the question. Let's just deal with the subject matter. Subject matter was, your response to that was, they are the majority, it is their land, so they should be permitted to do what they do.
I didn't say they're permitted to do nothing. I was going to sit over here and say that there's going to be atrocities that are going to go down in that aftermath. I mean, come on. They've been under Mubarak's control since I was like seven, dude.
Actually, earlier than that.
All right. Because 78, man, is when
okay, yeah, you're right.
Time.
Okay, you're right. 78.
Right.
I was thinking seven.
But since I was like seven, you know, this dude's been in power, man. Hell, I got white hairs coming out my chin now, Reese. Hey,
okay,
man. Right. Come on.
But again, so you're saying that the majority rules and what it is that they do is permissible. Is that... Yeah, is that a fact or not?
Look, like I said, man, you know, these people are extreme people, man. You know, they've been doing the thing that, you know, let's face it, this is the part of the world where the Hammurabi Code comes out of. You know, democracy, everybody keeps forgetting, democracy is one of the newest forms of government. All right, democracy is not going to work everywhere. You know, you gotta introduce democracy.
Whoa, Derek,
When you introduce democracy into somewhere, Derek, hold on, I gotta stop you.
This is what it is that you're missing. Okay. It's funny that people always make this argument that democracy is not going to work everywhere. It's the newest thing. It's 236 years old, man.
Well, no, back up. No. Democracy goes back to the 3rd century BC in Greece.
Exactly. I apologize. But when Derek is talking about democracy, he's talking about the democracy that we have within the United States. But you're right. Democracy is gone. Exactly. Romans had democracy, for crying out loud. Greeks had democracy, for crying out loud. But when Derek is speaking of democracy in the essence that he's speaking, he's talking about 236 years of American history. That's where he's coming from. So he's saying that it's relatively a new thing when he's talking about the democracy of the United States. What he fails to mention when he says that is in that short time, the youngest country in the world, okay, has been the most prosperous in the world. Countries that Egypt has been around over 5,000 years. And what's going on in that country has always put them a century behind us. So I got to bring you back in, Derek, and say, when you make the argument about democracy and you look at the results, you're going to tell me that democracy wouldn't work in other countries?
It doesn't work everywhere. And even our democracy isn't real democracy. Come on, what's up with the Electoral College? You know what I'm saying? We sit over here and say, one man, one vote. One man, one vote isn't really what's going on over here, and it never has from the beginning.
The Electoral
right?
College exists to have equal power among
like
less
said,
populous
one
states.
One man, one vote doesn't go
right
over here.
The Electoral College is so the whole power is not centered in the Northeast, Derek. That's why we
exactly,
have the Electoral College.
Said. One man, one
so
vote doesn't go right over here.
Colorado and
either.
Nebraska get equal representation.
That's the whole bottom line.
Dude, like I said, one man, one vote doesn't go around over here, okay?
But
democracy doesn't work everywhere.
That works. That works
he doesn't
because
care
the population
about
is not the same everywhere, Derek.
I'm going to let Edward get in before we end the show. Thanks for calling, Edward. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I was just calling because I was trying to find some news articles about the crucifixions, but I haven't found them yet. So,
Edward, actually,
yeah.
I think Edward just tweeted them to both of us.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
Mike, why is that Edward?
It's on Drudge's front page.
Right. It is on his front page.
And it links to WorldNet Daily.
So anybody want to tell me how the ad came out? That's all I wanted to know.
You did a good job with it, man.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Edward?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. You can go, I listened to it a couple minutes ago. You did a good job. Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Derek, you care to tell me whether or not it was any good?
Like I said, man, I got to see it. I guess I got to look at your judge report, you know, because,
hey,
I mean, all I know is when Gaddafi went down, they showed pictures of somebody shoving something up his butt, all right?
That was done at our behest, too, so good job.
Right, I've seen that on several networks, okay?
Yeah, we've taken Libya from being a stable country with a healthy economy and a happy populace to now having black Muslims getting tossed off the roof of the post office.
Dude,
yeah.
Like I said, man, I'm not sitting over here saying, hey, you know, these things happen, man, you know?
They happen because we're making them happen. They're not happening. We're making them happen. You get the difference?
Yeah, but when it was time, when everybody was saying, Gaddafi had to go, remember you had John McCain and all these people saying why we didn't have the military and all the floor and all that. Now you're sitting over here saying now that these people are gone, they're saying, oh, it's Obama's fault. Come on, man.
He's the commander in chief, buddy. He makes the ultimate choices.
You guys try to have it both ways all the time. Come on. That's just
Derek,
what you guys say.
Wait.
You can't
it's
have it both
out,
ways, dude.
Derek, we're $16 trillion. Derek, we're close to $16 trillion in debt. Of course, it's Obama's fault.
Nothing.
God damn it.
Everything is Bush's fault, though, isn't it?
Dude, you can't sit over here and say you want the military to do something about these dictators. Then when the dictators are
I don't
the
want
vacuum,
the military to do anything about
vacuum,
them. That's the point.
And you sit over here and you say, oh, man, the vacuum is the president's fault. Come on, man.
You know,
dude,
you know why? Because
ways, man.
The
there's
going to
be a
do.
Power vacuum, man.
Yeah, no,
the one
thing
we should have left them alone. We made it worse.
The one thing that we do want is if the president does take military action, for him to follow the Constitution, not take military action on his own.
Derek is just a maniac. He's still talking about that. He's dead, Derek. Let it go.
No. See, you guys want it both ways.
No, we don't.
I
want it one way. I want a non-interventionist foreign policy.
Oh.
I want us to leave people alone and not make things worse.
I'm living on Fantasy Island with that work, okay? You know what I'm saying? Look, man, there's going to be a power vacuum. That's just how it goes down.
There wouldn't be a power vacuum if we didn't support overturning those people. And they don't get overthrown without the CIA on the ground.
We should have left Saddam Hussein alone. Okay.
Absolutely.
We should have left Gaddafi alone. We should have
absolutely.
All
I don't know whether or not you're hearing him, but he's agreeing with you, Derek. I think he's agreeing with you. I don't think you're
No. Derek's saying we should have got rid of him. I'm saying we should leave those people alone. Dude, research what Libya was like under Gaddafi. Go see how well those people lived and see how well they live now.
Yeah. There you go. Strong point. Very strong point. Well, you guys, have a great weekend. Mike, Edward, and Derek, and JC, I appreciate all of you, of course, calling in. It's always a heated debate. We also like to thank our guest, Dr. Carol M. Swain, for joining in with us today. I will see you guys next week. Derek, take a chill pill of some sort and maybe a Valium.
Derek, smoke a damn joint.
On Monday, it's Reset on the Radio. Have a good one.